Well, that's the way it went Friday on the Fall Riviera with Craig Breslow. But I wonder if that, if we were there this morning and that introduction was happening, would it have been a different response from the diehards?
No, I still think it'd be the same.
You sure?
Yeah.
I think they changed some minds over the weekend.
No, because he didn't win the game. He didn't win the game. His narrative was that he was supposed to try to get something done. I don't agree with it. I think actually Craig handled it in stride. Yeah. Like, we've had people on this show before that I think would have hung up once they started booing. But I think that they still would have booed this morning.
Good morning.
Even though they won the game, I agree with Curtis. It just makes them, or they swept the series, it makes people go, man, imagine if you would have did this and got, player X.
I don't know that have you been paying attention to the text line? There are a lot of people who are like, listen, we were in on this team. We didn't want to screw with the chemistry, and they did the exact right thing.
Can we stop it with the chemistry? There's no sport on the planet that is a team sport that is less chemistry related to it than baseball.
But that was the narrative when they got rid of Raffy too.
Yeah, but Brez,
the whole chemistry thing.
Brez said the chemistry for the Raffy thing was true because it was negative chemistry, and he knows how much that can affect the clubhouse. But when it's
Manny Ramirez didn't show up for a series against the Yankees.
He even alluded to it wasn't about chemistry because everybody was on the table. So you know that the chemistry part isn't really to play, because when he's like, there wasn't nobody that we wouldn't deal if, it was a good enough package to put together.
And the other thing is you look at Giolito after the game is, of course, not going to be mad about it because he's number two starter right now. If they have Joe Ryan, he's not the number two starter. He doesn't want there to be another starter in the rotation.
Well, Bale's number two, Giolito's.
Okay, whatever. Then he's a four starter instead of a three starter. Listen, it was a great weekend. They pitched well. The team is likable despite their bosses, and it's good for us if they keep winning. Crochet's innings limit is going to be the story of the second half. How they manage him, they've already, pushed him out from Saturday. I think he's starting tomorrow night, Tuesday night against the Royals at Fenway. And if they have a loss, or 2-3 losses in the spot where they're trying to extend the period in between starts for Crochet, you can directly tie that to Joe Ryan.
Yes, but that August drop-off, which has happened frequently in the past, if they avoid that, you have to look at this baseball team and go, all right, this is a team that, all I'm told, Curtis, every year is you just got to get in the playoffs and anybody can win it.
Last year's Red Sox team was 61-52. This year's team is 62-51. We're talking about it like it's light years apart. They're literally a game difference at this exact spot. So the season will be defined by the next, 50 games. And I think the one thing Cora learned from Francona, which is you never have enough pitching.
But it looked a little different last year because the first 15 games after the All-Star break, last year they were 6-9. This year they're 9-6, so they look a little bit better. They're on another 5-game win streak or something along those lines. So it does look a little bit different.
They have the best record in Major League Baseball since Roman Anthony came up. They have a great record since they made the Devers trade.
I think the biggest thing with them isn't really going to be if they get on a little bit of a bumpy road, like if they lose three straight, and it's going to be how did you lose those three straight? Did Giolito and Bayo give you good outings, and then your bullpen might have had some issues, or your offense wasn't there? Did you in the first game of the series against Houston, pitching's great, but your hitting's not there, and you're able to win in walk-off fashion, right? And so is it a game like that where you look at it and go, all right, pitching was good, the bullpen was good, but the bats weren't going?
Does it also look bad that they waited so long for Roman Anthony, Marcelo Meyer? Because we asked that question week after week when Craig Breslow came on. What are you waiting for? What are you waiting for? And it was we're waiting to make sure that they don't feel too much pressure or they make sure that they can handle it. Clearly they can handle it. And now that they've had such a great run with them up here, obviously, Marcelo's dealing with injury, but does it look bad that they waited so long, or does it look like they hit it at the right time?
I don't know, because I was not somebody who felt like you should try to avoid putting pressure on right. somebody right. who's going to be a major league.
Well, Breslow fired the scout that found Roman Anthony. So.
But, like, Curtis, you're the baseball guy. Should they have called them up earlier?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Because the team has played better with them on the roster, right? So yes. if they had come yes. up earlier, theoretically, you would hope that the team would have started playing better sooner rather than later. Maybe they would have been better at the trade deadline than they were if they had brought them up earlier.
But I think the thing is that's why the Devers trade, people were saying, well, you could have held on to him to the trade deadline. You probably couldn't have, because then does that mess with the chemistry of here's where we want Roman Anthony to be? And, well, because Devers is DH and it's a little bit more, it's a
but
little
hotter. You
can't
hotter. Worry about the chemistry aspect when you're talking about bringing a guy up. Like, in my mind, it seems like he fit in perfectly once he got here. So that doesn't matter to me. It's more so, were they dealing with him with kid gloves for too long instead of just saying, this guy's ready to go?
Right, but they might not have been able to get him in the lineup like they wanted because Devers is there, right? That was what everybody was telling me. Well, if you eliminate Devers because Devers don't want to play the field, that opens up the DH. So then maybe you're able to put Roman Anthony at the DH and you're still able to play Duran in the outfield and all those things. And when you have Devers who wasn't willing to do that, now that clogs up where you could potentially put him.
603 text, completely disagree with Curtis and his chemistry is crap take. This isn't football where you take 10 flights to weekend games. Going out on the road for 80 games with guys you don't like absolutely impacts the performance of a team.
So, how?
Well, I mean, I don't know. Did you feel like the chemistry was a factor when Kevin Millar was here and they won a series?
No, or 2013.
I think John Lackey and 2013 Red Sox, no. I think when teams win, they're all happy because why would you be mad at each other? It's chicken or the egg. Like, did the 03 team have worse chemistry than the 04 team? No. I mean, Kevin Millar did a great job. I think Kevin Millar's greatest strength was that he was the front-facing guy because guys like Manny didn't want to deal with it, and he took it on himself to go tell Shaughnessy, don't let us win today. He was the front-facing guy when other people weren't ready to do that or didn't want to.
This is Tim from Hanover. Tim, what's up?
Good morning, guys.
Hey.
Hey, I just want to say, man, they got rid of the money, man. They got rid of Devers. You don't have to mess with the chemistry, but you do have to add a good starting pitcher to try and win a championship. They're not doing that. They're just going to the playoffs and calling it good. Try and win the championship and spend the money to get the guy if you really want to win a championship.
They just swept the Astros and won a series against the Dodgers.
Mm-hmm.
Two of the better teams in Major League Baseball. As much as you want to, you can't deny that.
Mm-hmm.
You cannot deny that is what they have done.
Well, the difference is going to be this, because we're all talking about this year versus last year. So if you just kind of look at the numbers from last year. So last year for the month of July, they were 13-11. This year, they're 17-7. In August last year, they were 13-15. They're already started out 3-0. Now, it's going to be interesting to see where they finish August record-wise. So if they can put another record similar to what they did in July where, you know, they're 17-7 or they're, you know, 6, 7, 8, 10 games above 500 when August is over, then you start to look and go, that's the difference. Because if you look at where they struggle, and I've done this before as a lead, Alex Cora's teams have struggled August and September, him as a manager. If he can then turn that around, that's going to be the biggest takeaway that we look at it. And right now we're only three games in, so we still have to see, can they do much better in the month of August than they did last year?
This is Bob from Warwick, Rhode Island. What's up, Bob?
Yeah, I'd like to know if the Red Sox have decided to print up World Series tickets.
Oh, God, it's this Bob. Can somebody tell me when Bob is calling, please?
I don't know why we're... I thought we said we're not even going to put him on hold anymore. I don't understand why he was even on hold in the first place.
At least he didn't say that he hates the Red Sox.
Yeah,
he was probably going to get to that, though.
Yeah, he was getting that.
No, they're not printing World Series tickets yet. I don't think anybody is. They will probably print them in advance of the World Series.
Yeah. Do they even print them anymore? You
no,
just get
no,
your phone.
Really.
You can get them digitally.
Poor Bob was on hold for a long time to get that one out.
Bob probably still runs down, I would guess, to the ticket office and see, you know, takes a look at what's available.
I don't know if
he's
running anywhere.
You don't think so?
Jeez.
Could be.
Also, can
slow
I say,
pace.
Wiggy just brought up Jaren Duran. I love that guy, but he hurt my feelings over the weekend.
Why?
There was a Red Sox TikTok, and the social media team had like a question posted as people walked in. They always do this, and it was like, how old is old?
Mm-hmm.
Jaren Duran. Anyone born in their 90s?
Oh.
Mm. Chose violence.
Oh, damn. Wow.
Absolutely.
So you off his hall pass smash
no.
list.
Well, I mean.
You're too old for him.
Yeah. You're too old. You're getting up there. I hate to break it to you.
33, I know.
Yeah, but 33 is old now.
According to Jaren Duran.
To the youngins will tell you, like, what's an unk and auntie? As soon as you hit your 30s, you are officially an auntie now.
Yeah.
But he was born in the 90s, too, so he considers himself old, I guess.
Yeah. All right, let's get to what is trending.
Jones and Keefe, weekdays 10 to 2.
Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
The Red Sox sweep the Astros in their weekend series, leapfrogging the Yankees to take that number 2 spot in the AL East. Now just 3 games back from the Blue Jays. 6-1 was the final yesterday with Lucas Giolito going 8 innings, giving up a run on 3 hits while striking out 4. The Royals now in town for the Sox, 7-10 first pitch from Fenway with Brian Baio taking the mound. Brooksy joins Will Fleming on the Shaw's and Star Market WEEI Red Sox Radio Network. Shaw's, go shopping, get rewarded. Kick things off with Christian Arcan at 6:10 for the MassMutual pregame show. Over to basketball, where Luka Doncic signed a 3-year, $165 million contract extension that brings his salary through 2028-29 to $206.8 million with the Lakers. And over to the Patriots, we've got practice today, 10:15 start. We'll hear from Mike Vrabel at 10 a.m. I'm sure Jones and Keith will have that for all of you listening. That's what's trending. We have your Hill Notes coming up.
Jones and Keith coming up in about a half an hour from Gillette and Patriots training camp down there, looking for players to blame Drake May's interceptions on for Shime. And so,
well, I mean, we just, you know, I got, because I was on the Shime train, like, all right, I'm not going to blame a drop pass on Drake May. But if it is deflected second level, Shime knows better than anybody. You got to be able to throw around those guys. So we can't put that necessarily on Steph Diggs. Yeah. We got to be like, well, that probably was on Drake May.
You are almost as worked up about that as you were earlier about a shot taken at Bill Belichick.
Don't get me going about Mary Kate.
By a female journalist. Really bothered you.
Oh, that bothered me so bad because the criticism would have been the other way. And the fact it's the Hall of Fame inductions. And I saw a couple, like, speeches online or whatever. I mean, I don't watch it. But people generally look at it as their moment to talk about all the great things that helped them get to where they were. Mm-hmm. When you start taking shots at people who are not even there and not even, like, people must have been in the crowd, like, is this like, what's going on here?
I was 28 at the time, and he just couldn't relate to a woman that old.
It seems like six people thought it was funny.
That was so funny. Bill Belichick's dating a 24-year-old. So what better way for me to get eyes on me is make a joke about Bill and how I was 28. I was four years too old for him.
Are you saying that it's classless?
Oh, yeah. Hands down. Because I told you, if that was a guy who would have made a joke about a prominent, you know, TV personality.
Female.
I don't know. Wendy Nix.
Wendy Nix.
Is that her name?
Yeah.
There's a Wendy Nix.
Yeah. Well,
she's like, blast from the past.
Well, it'd have to be somebody, like, Bill's a blast from the past. It has to be somebody prominent.
Yeah.
Well, when she interviewed me earlier, the problem was my bank account wasn't big enough for her. That's probably why she didn't want to do an interview with me. Basically saying, oh, I didn't have enough money for her. Bill likes him younger. Like, stop it. Like, just be there.
It was a shot out of nowhere.
Yeah. Like, I mean, that's...
Clapback 33 in the Twitch chat says, Wiggy is right about this one. There was no need for it, and it was not relevant.
He knows clapbacks, too. It's in his name.
It's yes, like petty, yes, like...
Yeah, Bill, we don't want to be pity around Bill Belichick. That guy's never pity.
No, but when is...
Angry Principal Dave in the Twitch chat says, Wiggy is spot on. This was not a roast. Right. It was the Hall of Fame ceremony.
Right.
She discussed the first coach that she covered in her recently enshrined Hall of Fame career was Bill Belichick. And how when you start out with Bill, Nobody can shake or rattle you after that. Then she discussed a personal anecdote about him screaming at her and took a pot shot. It's happened in Hall of Fame induction speeches all the time. It was a great line. The only place in America that people are butthurt about it is at this studio.
No, it wasn't. Calm down.
And you might have found it to have been funny. I just thought it was like.
Greg, did you find it funny?
Yes, I did.
Yeah.
When I heard it, I was like, it was petty and it made no sense. It's like, you sound bitter. You sound bitter and old.
I don't think Bill cares.
No, but it's not about whether.
Jordan certainly does, though.
I'm not following you.
I mean, Jordan is upset about it, I guess.
She's retweeting people that are like, that's not really that funny. I agree. It's not my type of humor, and I think that it takes away from her great career to put all the emphasis on Bill Belichick and her not liking him.
Doesn't even think she should be there in the first place.
No, she should be.
I mean,
it's only a Sports Hall of Fame somewhere separate. And contributor for writing. Okay, so if I talk about
appreciate writing.
No, if I talk about
you're not into reading.
If I talk about the Bruins for 20 years, do I get to go in the NHL Hall of Fame as a contributor?
I mean, maybe Kevin Paul DuPont will get in there or something.
Yeah.
Maybe
I think they have five Hall of Famers on that team.
Yeah, have you a little Sports Hall of Fame? Because I would say to Curtis, if somebody was at giving their induction speech and then said, you know what? I remember my rookie year, and Brady was such a, made a joke about Tom.
Well, it would have to be a shot at Tom about not being a good dad or something.
Yeah, so whatever
it is. For your analogy.
Yeah, or even like a good teammate. Like, your moment is for you to shine and everything that you did to get to where you were. Don't take shots at people because Bill might have been a little bit stern or like one of those guys that you talked about, and he treated everybody, Courtney, you're right, equal. You made it sound like he was this male chauvinist that treated you differently because you was a female reporter at a Hall of Fame speech.
Damn right.
So everybody thinking like, man, Bill treated women differently than men? That ain't right.
Well, I mean, he did though.
How come she's the only? Is she the first woman that's been inducted into the Hall of Fame as a writer?
One that covered the Browns as her first job.
Did anybody ever cover Bill? Any females that are in the Hall of Fame?
I don't know what other writers in Cleveland are in the Hall of Fame. I have no idea.
That's my point. Facts. Who the hell cares? Go to your Sports Hall of Fame.
She knew it was going to get clicks, and she did it. And she
exactly.
And she's getting universal applause across the country.
She might be getting universal.
I wouldn't say applause across the country.
Okay, Google her name.
I have. You and Greg.
Where's the negative story? Find it.
Well, there's no
negative. I'm not going to Google. I'm saying if you go on social media, there's people that don't find it funny. It's different. Different strokes for different folks.
I would say the majority of people would find it to be classless. If you were to take a poll, the majority of people would be like, that's classless for her basically
Do you feel that way about everybody who jokes about Bill?
Roast, it's one thing.
No, but in general. I mean, people make jokes about
him, but that's one thing. Like, you're making a joke about Bill on the radio.
It's not a roast. Like,
So it's just where it happened for
you. If it's on the radio and it's like, they're at camp and, there's a bunch of young girls around here. Yeah. You know who'd fit right in? Bill Belichick. Like, okay, I get it. But when it's it wasn't about her, like, just criticizing Bill. It made it seem like he treated her different and he was a male chauvinist when it came to how he treated her. And it wasn't just a joke about him dating younger girls. Yeah. It was like, oh, this guy was a male chauvinist.
I understand what you're saying.
Yeah, and I think that's like, I think it's petty on her part. You're a writer. You should know better than that. Put some big words together and say something where you might be able to throw people off the scent.
I feel like she should have resigned on a cocktail napkin. That would have been classy.
But that's different, though. Classless. Yeah, say what you want. If you're at your Hall of Fame, if you get into the Radio Hall of Fame.
I will not. Wait.
But if you do, hypothetically.
I will thank you and Talina.
No. If you get in the Radio Hall of Fame and you start taking shots at people you used to work with and, it's like petty. You like use that moment to enjoy the day. Classless. Yeah, that's and then you're telling listen, you're not a comedian. It wasn't that funny.
Now, let me ask you, what if Curtis at some point, it might be sooner than later, is inducted into the Meteorologist Hall of Fame?
You better watch out, Reiner.
Should he be taking shots at Jeremy Reiner?
Classless. No. No, he should. They can do that.
Because watch Michael Jordan's induction speech.
I can't wait. I cannot wait until Bill gets his chance to go into the Hall of Fame, and I hope he absolutely craps all over her. And I want the same energy.
That would be classless as well.
But I want the same energy by like, oh, he was just telling a joke. It was funny. Classless. You know? He's like the guy who hosted, what the hell is it, the ESPYs. He's like Shane Gillis.
Wow, good recall.
You know? You're not funny. The joke wasn't funny. It just sounded, you made yourself sound.
Would you have found it funny if it was a guy who said, like, a joke? Like, so a male journalist was being inducted or whatever award she was
receiving. I would still find that to be classless. Okay. On that stage. Okay. You sound bit, and then from 19, what was it? 89 or 90? Like, how many years ago was that? Like, and listen here, ladies, and get over it.
And people being like, Wiggy's kissing Bill's ass. Like, to Wiggy's credit, like, you found other people who have made jokes about Bill dating younger women in front of Bill to be funny.
Yeah, I got no issues with that.
It's just the setting.
Like, get over it. It's from, how many years ago was that? 40 years? 1991?
It was quite some time.
Like,
nobody gets over things quite as well as Bill Belichick.
You're classless. Your bloomers are still in a bunch from the early 90s of interviewing Bill that you have to bring it up at your Hall of Fame speech.
So here's a text from Maine, my adopted home continent. So, Wiggy, Bill can treat every reporter like crap for decades, and now he expects to be treated with kid gloves?
No, at least he's consistent.
Are those his or Jordan's
kid
gloves?
He's doing it. He might be doing it in that moment, which is the post-game press conference or the pregame, whatever it is in that moment. But it's a different element when you're being inducted into the Hall of Fame. Like,
no,
if Bill,
Courtney, is what I just said it was.
If Bill was going into the Hall of Fame, and
I've never been more scared.
If he was going into the Hall of Fame and he was doing an interview before that and people were asking him questions about his, and he was treating people like that going into the Hall of Fame, I would be like, come on, Bill. That's rude and classless. Classless.
Now, will you get the same anxiety about Mike Vrabel Mike Vrabel's on the show?
I don't
necessarily. Because he can lean toward Bill a little bit if you ask a dumb question.
Ask Ben Bolin.
Typing on your phone or tweeting, I don't know, but I spent 5 minutes answering that question.
I'll be more nervous than I was with Gerard Mayo, because you could just tell Gerard Mayo like exactly what you thought about anything, and he didn't care, and he just let it roll off his back.
He didn't actually know where he was.
No, he did.
At the time.
Yes, he did.
At the time of the interview.
But Mike Vrabel seems to be very, very fair, and I'm excited to talk to him. He seems fun.
Vrabel got that Parcells personality. He likes to joke.
There's been a lot of moments, Greg, over the last couple of years that have not been great. But to me, it's going to be hard to top in all of Boston sports history the ineptitude of an organization that can't even properly bench someone.
Neutralize. Bam.
Like, and think about the layers of stupidity.
And Mayo would come walking in there just, off the treadmill with a towel, and he'd be like, you're right about that. That was kind of ridiculous.
Right.
That we weren't able to figure out how to bench Ramondre Stevenson. Yeah.
You're not qualified to do what Mayo was doing.
Yeah.
Like, that was a moment. I'm watching Twitter and everybody's like, Ramondre's in the huddle. And I'm like, how is this possible? Yeah. 3 hours ago, you said he was benched.
All right. Let's get to Hill Notes, which are brought to you by Coleman Electric. If you need an electrician, call Coleman.
It's electric.
Is there anything more hypocrite than Curtis attending the Red Sox game after he spent weeks telling us how evil they are, how wrong they are, and how we should not spend any money on them? You got your pink hat on there, buddy? Numb nuts.
Yeah, my son, I hope you have a family, and my son wanted to go to the game. I didn't pay a nickel for the ticket. We didn't buy anything inside the park.
Saw a good one, though.
Huh?
Great game.
Saw a great
James
game.
A big early diehard Red Sox fan.
Well, Wally fan.
Like his dad.
And he didn't even want chicken tenders or anything?
Nope. Damn. We had we brought our own food in. We brought some strawberries, a nice quinoa fritter.
Oh.
What
the hell is that?
Oh, that sounds like a prison for James.
Yes, it's not food.
He's like, you brought me a quinoa fritter?
He loves them.
Strawberries?
No, he doesn't.
He goes out of his way.
No, he can't stand it.
I wouldn't touch it with a 10-foot pole.
You're feeding the kid probably wants mac and cheese, hot dogs, and that's it.
Classless. What is he, six months old? You're giving him cut-up strawberries?
No, the whole strawberry.
Fritter?
Yep. I can put the recipe. Jess makes it. It's delicious.
Oh, it's homemade?
Oh, yeah.
The hell is a quinoa?
It's like the coach of the Brewers who has the, he's got the pancakes in his pocket.
Yep. We, it was phenomenal.
Oh, pancakes
pocket
is
pancakes
one thing.
Is a great, yeah. great idea.
You like pocket pancakes?
That's such a brilliant idea. I can't believe I've never thought of that.
Yeah, are you a table cakes guy, Shyam?
I don't know what are
like
table
like if you
cakes.
Go to breakfast with a group of people and you each get your own meal, but we're going to get table cakes.
Oh, so that 100%. Everyone can have a bite. Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
I love the Twitch chat talking about families. Game Dog, who's 60 and lives by himself. Oh, I'm sure. He really wanted and requested to go to the Red Sox game, you fraud.
Classless.
Don't go after my son in your induction speech.
Didn't you order table cakes when we had brunch after the Beachcomber show?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah. I always
were they,
do.
Were they cakes or waffles, though? I think
no, I'm always a cakes. All right. Okay. I'm not a big waffle person.
Yeah.
I like that's a good idea, table cakes. Yeah. I've never heard that before, but I'm down for that.
Santo, congratulations. Well done, my friend. Courtney, I heard you talking about how he needs to bring some type of eye mask so he can sleep next year for the Pan Mask Challenge. Well, he's going to have to bring a backpack based on that picture you posted. He doesn't have much room in his shorts.
Yeah. Yeah. Boy is packing. Right.
It's a good bounce back. Yeah. Product placement.
So back.
Yeah.
So back on that placement. One.
Yeah. Seven is dominated nuts, the world, though. Hey, I mean,
Santo, before we take this picture, just right there.
I've got numerous photos. It looks the same in every single
some
one.
Some people are, not me, but some are accusing him of packing. For
no.
That photo.
Classless. No. They have those.
No, I've seen that thing in the wild.
Yeah. You could buy those underwears. Called Dick Print 3000.
Oh,
you got me one for my birthday.
Yeah, I did. It's like an outline.
Yeah.
Some people thought he had the missing, the hot dog that was missing from the incident in New Jersey at the deli. No, but that's that.
Courtney's loving the bounce
that's
back.
That's all him. Yep.
Hey, we get it. It's a bounce back.
Oh, I told ya.
Oh, natural.
I just want to say, Jackson is the man. I seen him at the Pantera concert this weekend when I was working at the bar. And he came up and asked for a water. And I said, Jackson, are you Jackson? And he's like, yes, I am. I said, I need to take a picture with you. And he was so happy and thrilled that I asked for a picture. He took a picture, gave him a free water. And then he's like, I need to take a picture of you. Because then nobody's going to believe me.
All right.
All right.
Big Jack.
Jack back from suspension.
I would say that there's probably some kind of a life hack, concert life hack, where you go up and ask for the water, get that on the schneid.
Right.
And then you can, you know, I don't know, you add something to it or whatever. It's a good way to save some money when you're going to a concert.
Yeah.
Holy God. I spent 3 days watching the Red Sox against the Astros with my son, having the best time, so excited, a big sweep, wake up to listen to the Greg Hill Show, and what do we get? The negative nay-bombs of negativity. You guys are unbelievable. Seriously. Want to be excited about winning? I'm telling them, Brady. It's got to be quiet. Anyway, if negative Nancy would please stop. Thank you.
Okay. Well, it was a big weekend for him.
Yep.
Hard to deny that.
Bounce back weekend after the trade deadline.
And honestly, the rest of the month, their schedule is very reasonable. Mm-hmm. Like, you have some games that you can win here and be a leg up. Santo is two legs up, but you could be a leg
three.
Up. Be a leg up on everybody else by the end of this month.
Hey, Curtis, you idiot. Did you not have a sandbox when you were younger? My God, you're an angry man. Angry.
Oh, well, you sounded pretty angry there, Chief.
Courtney throws away Santo's flame bathing suit, but not those Magnum PI nut huggers.
That's it. If you are going to take a picture, make sure you're wearing biker shorts. It'll help you out a lot. It's like, you know, when you get on TV and they said camera adds 10 pounds.
Yes.
The biker shorts adds like 3-4 inches.
3 or 4 inches, it does. Yes. The biker shorts. That's the way to go.
So, Greg, you're telling us that Lindsay wears her labubu off of her backpack when she heads off to middle school this fall?
You know what I mean.
Yep.
The backpacks are very popular.
Oh, yeah.
When it comes to work.
And just a small request, if you're recording this, turn the music off in the background.
Correct.
Actually, it was Courtney talking in the background.
Or the show in the background.
She a double strapper? Comes to the backpack?
I don't know what that means.
Definitely.
She has both straps on?
I don't know what people are bringing with them to work when they have their backpack.
Like a laptop.
You
maybe.
Do you have a backpack?
I did for a bit, but now I'm back to just like the tote, if you will. Mm-hmm. But like maybe a snack.
Hey, Greg, I was watching on YouTube this morning and going back to you referring to those bagels as crack. By the looks of that double chin of yours, I hate to say it, my friend, but I think you might be addicted to crack.
I feel like the generally the beard covers the double chin, but maybe I need to have more beard.
I think you're looking slim.
Oh, I appreciate that, Courtney. Thank you.
You get the same effects.
Curtis said the same thing to me last week.
I did. I caressed your bottom.
You get the same effect of being addicted to them, but it doesn't give you none of the crack benefits where you're going to get real thin.
I have been laying off the pop-up bagels. It just so happens that they have the blueberry crumble cream cheese schmear, which is the greatest schmear ever. Yes?
May I make a brief observation?
Yes.
These Hill Notes bitch about negativity. Do they understand the irony in that?
Classless.
Some of them are classless. Yeah, they are. Now, you're right about that, Wiggy.
Greg, people noticing your butt because you have a flat, old, white man's butt is not a compliment.
Oh, I always thought that was a compliment.
No.
On my butt.
You just got to get smaller pants, I think.
Huh? You think so?
Yeah. I think your pants
How would I fit them around my waist?
Well, clearly, you can, because you're always pulling them up anyway.
Because if you had a big butt, they wouldn't slide down.
Yeah, I don't have a big butt.
Right.
I know so then you how do you get compliments
you like
on your
big butts?
Well, how do you get compliments on your butt?
That it's well. Developed and my legs cascade up into a gorgeous butt. Correct.
I wish I had your self-esteem.
Thank you.
Ernie Bach going on tour with the band. Sick brag, bro.
Sick brag, bro.
Yeah. Pretty good. Yeah. Pretty cool, though, to meet Joe Perry. Yeah. Appreciate Ernie doing that.
The Joe Perry Project.
Yes.
And I would like to thank Jones and Keefe, my first ever Sick Brag of the Week award.
Oh.
For when I discussed my lunch in the Seaport. Rich Keefe awarded me the Sick Brag of the Week.
Oh, he did.
So.
Excellent.
Very kind of them.
You went to Ocean Prime.
I did.
Sick brag, bro.
Oh, they're giving out awards for that?
Yeah.
Ooh, I should get it this week.
Yeah. Friday.
For Brady.
Yeah, for the Brady.
Yeah,
text.
No one's going to be able to top that one.
No, that's the first thing I thought of, actually.
Special, Jones and Keith?
High five.
Did Rich ever do a review of the movie that we saw together?
No, but you said it was spectacular.
Yeah, you would love it.
Yeah, I'm going to check it out.
You love horror films.
Yeah, I do.
What's it called?
Together.
Together.
Yeah, with Dave Franco and I don't
know. His girlfriend.
Oh, that's his girlfriend in real life? Oh, wow.
I think they might even be married.
Really?
I believe so.
Yeah, it's funny. Like, there's a lot of humor in it, and it's a horror film, and it's well done.
That'll do it today, Greg.
All right. Hill Notes brought to you by Coleman Electric. If you need an electrician, call Coleman.
It's electric.
Jones and Keith coming up momentarily from Gillette Stadium and Patriots training camp, and you can listen to every moment on the radio or on the Odyssey app, or you can stream at WEEI.com, and you can watch every moment of Jones and Keith from training camp on either YouTube or on Twitch. And this show and this station on Twitch presented by Springer's Jewelers. And they are in Portsmouth, New Hampshire, where they are tax-free. And if you're in the market for a diamond, go see them there and get a diamond. And they will teach you everything you need to know and sell you your diamond for less at Springer's Jewelers. This is Randy from Providence, Rhode Island. Hello, Randy.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
What's up?
So I wanted to ask, you guys have mentioned a couple of coaching situations throughout the NFL with a Ben Johnson kind of struggling with the install in Chicago, Mike McDaniels trying to juggle personalities in Miami, and then you guys have talked about Dan Quinn and Cliff Kingsbury, which is kind of the opposite of those situations. I wonder how much that highlights Mike Vrabel as like the right hire for the Patriots, particularly when we were talking about Ben Johnson as a candidate at one point in time. And then if I could just add in real quick, words I thought I would never say. I agree with Wiggy. I think that the Hall of Fame speech is not the right venue for kind of roasting. And I think that we've seen that the instance that sticks out in my mind, Michael Jordan was super petty at his Hall of Fame acceptance speech to the point he flew out the guy who beat him out for a high school spot to sit front row. And it's like, it's funny, but it's also petty and just kind of classless. And
classless.
I agree with Wiggy on that.
Yeah, classless.
If you guys haven't seen it, the Jordan induction speech is one of one. Just, it's why he was great, but he's also a dink.
Yeah, it does make him look classless. That's something like
that's my favorite
LeBron doing that. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know. It's like your moment to just talk about the highlights in your career. You know, if there's a situation that was negative that helped you get through it, you speak of the situation, but you don't necessarily have to start just...
I mean, you know, the surgical examination of what occurs every 5 seconds at training camp drives me crazy. Mm-hmm. But that being said, can you glean anything from when it comes to Mike Vrabel from the way training camp has gone so far as opposed to the way it went last year with Rod Mayo? I mean, you don't have guys picking fights with him on the field in front of other guys, I guess. That's a positive.
And I'm not down there, but just some of the things I hear is just the way it's being ran. Like, it's very structured. The energy level is different. And so, you know, running from drills to drill, period to period, that kind of thing. Like, there's an intensity level that you hear about some of these guys talking about this year where they know, like, Vrabel's not playing around. You know, you guys... Like, people say, like, you know, you brought up Vrabel and how he's got a little bit of Belichick in him. Like, he does have a little bit of Belichick in him, but he even has, like, Bill Parcells in him because, you know, looking at just, like, some of the things that he talks about, like, with the media and just he probably has some of that Bill Cowher in him because that's who he played for. I mean, there's a whole bunch of you know, different pieces of coaches that he probably utilizes, and I think that's something that you could see these players this year are like, this guy means business.
I mean, there was going to be a ramp-up period for Jerod Mayo anyway because he had never run a training camp before. Right. So at least Mike
Vrabel. All the more reason they should have interceded on his behalf as Judon pantsed him in front of everyone.
Correct. Yeah.
The thing that I would say with Mayo that he would have had to learn from is how he handled the media. That would have said, all right, in year number two, you learn some of the things like, okay, where can I be better? Like how you handle and talk to the media. Like, you're burning cash, you know, we're going to bench this guy. Like, you'd have to learn those things, but, you know, he's not going to get that opportunity.
Those guys were soft, and then they weren't soft.
Yeah.
And then
Vrabel knows how to do that.
DC Delta, best post to the Twitch. Yeah, Mayo just never ramped up.
Yeah.
That's so true.
Well, it was a long ramp-up period.
Right.
That's what it was.
The runway was long, but in the end, it was actually short.
Well, trying to juggle.
You know, Curtis, have you ever tried to book travel for 100 people? I mean, it's very difficult.
It really is.
I mean, there's a lot of details that have to be dealt with.
Yeah, and I think he was trying, and with Mayo, I feel like he was trying to, how do I walk in the world of being the head coach, but also being a player's coach, because I played the game and I can relate to you. Where Vrabel doesn't do that. Like, Vrabel's like, I play the game, but I'm the head coach. And that's always going to, so even though I might understand what you're saying as a former player, but here's how I do things as the head coach. And I think that's the difference, you know, with Mike Vrabel.
All right. Well, Jones and Keefe bringing all of the excitement of training camp to you next on the radio and on the Odyssey app and on wherever you may be streaming things. We are back tomorrow morning. Alan Jackson on the show tomorrow at 8:20. Have a great day. Bye.
Now the time has come for leaving. And now we shall return.